My name is Kylie Mendoza. I'm a second-year master's student at Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, and I've been working with my advisor, Lauren Gardner, on developing new pruning and flower removal techniques for wonderful pomegranate. Real quickly, pomegranate is native to this area here between Iran and India. It's an ancient fruit, and there are hundreds of named cultivars grown throughout the world. In the U.S. and in California, there's really just one cultivar of any importance, and that's wonderful. It's got a nice, sweet, tart flavor, and it has beautiful red arils. The arils are the part that you eat, and also a really nice red exocarp that consumers really love. There's about 13,000 hectares grown in the U.S., and about 9,000 of that is grown in the San Joaquin Valley in California. So pomegranates can be either deciduous or evergreen. Wonderful is a deciduous cultivar. And the flowers are sometimes described as, or the trees are described as being either monoecious or andromonoecious. Flowers can occur anywhere on this spectrum between fully hermaphroditic perfect flowers and staminate flowers. The hermaphroditic flowers have a really high likelihood of setting fruit, whereas the staminate flowers would not set fruit, and anything in between has sort of a variable fertility. In Wonderful, flowering can occur on new wood, it can occur on old growth, it can occur on spurs. Flowers can be single or they can be in clusters. There's really a lot of variability. And that picture down at the bottom, I took that about a month ago, and you can see that there are, on the same tree, you have a fruit, which is pretty close to being ready for harvest. And you also have flowers, which are blooming and about to bloom. So you have this extended blooming period, which can cause some problems. The variation in bloom time and the variation in flower quality leads to a lot of variation when you get to harvest. And what growers increasingly would like to see is more uniform size, uniform color, and to have the fruit sort of develop all at the same time so that they're all ready to harvest at the same time. So in 2015, we set out to characterize the fruit and flowering habit of wonderful pomegranates. That graph on the bottom there represents about 16,000 flowers from five trees. The red portions are the hermaphroditic flowers, and the blue portions are the staminate flowers. One of our biggest findings was that overall 93% of the flowers were staminate, and we don't know what the ratio of staminate to hermaphroditic flowers should be, but based on what we've seen in other cultivars, we do think that that's really high. And it probably has something to do with the pruning practices. We found that hermaphroditic flowers were early blooming. Most of our hermaphroditic flowers were produced by week five. But as you can see, we continued to see new flowers blooming all the way through week 19, at which point we just stopped counting them because we harvested at week 21. We also found that anything that bloomed after week 9 was statistically unlikely to be marketable size, and marketable size is about 80 millimeters in diameter. It was also not statistically likely to be ripe or to have a nice ripe color to make it suitable for fresh market. And another one of our really interesting findings was that the age of the wood really impacted the gender of the flowers. So overall, we saw 93% staminate flowers on flowers which were born on one-year-old wood. About 97% of them were staminate. It got progressively better. For flowers born on two-year-old wood were more likely to be hermaphroditic, and flowers born on three-year-old wood were even more likely to be hermaphroditic. So overall, bloom time really was the best predictor of fruit quality. And the age of wood was really the best predictor of flower gender. And that flower gender, as I said, the flowers can be on a spectrum. The number of arils is really what's going to determine the size of the fruit at harvest. The number of arils is impacted by the number of ovules when that flower, before that flower is fertilized. And the number of a more hermaphroditic flower with a larger ovary obviously is going to have more ovules to begin with, so it has a higher potential to become a marketable size fruit. So we saw two problems that we wanted to address. The extended bloom time, as I said, leads to a lot of variation in fruit size and quality at harvest. These were all taken from the same orchard, the same day, all of those fruit there. And so our solution to that was to try and shorten the bloom time with manual flower removal. I showed you that graph earlier that everything which bloomed after week 9 was statistically unlikely to be marketable-sized fruit. We used that as a cutoff date when we went back in 2016 and 2017. And anything which we called that late set fruit or late blooming, anything that bloomed after that time, we just removed manually. The other problem was the variation in flower quality. And so we wanted to address that, we wanted to promote early flower development on older wood, and we did that through our pruning treatments. So I mentioned earlier that the industry standard pruning may be creating a lot of, maybe part of the problem that we saw with having 93% staminate flowers. In our experiment, we had a randomized complete block design with 168 trees. All of our trees got the industry standard pruning, which was mechanical topping, suckering, and skirting. All of those things were done in such a way that they created a lot of heading cuts, and then you got a lot of new vegetative growth. Excuse me, new vegetative growth and staminate flowers. So everything got the industry standard pruning. After that, we implemented the conservative pruning on 2/3 of our trees. Basically, what we did was we went in and we removed all the heading cuts from the tops of the trees, from the bottoms of the trees, and we removed any water sprouts. All cuts were made to a larger lateral. And then in addition to that, we did what we call the 1/3 new wood removal treatment, where on 1/3 of our trees, we went in and we removed 1/3 of the 1-year-old wood to try and induce flowering on the older wood. So we had, in total, we had 6 treatments. They're replicated 4 times within 7 blocks. For a total of 24 replicates of each treatment. Sorry, on each treatment, so we had the 3 pruning treatments, and then at around in mid-May, we started our flower thinning treatment where we went in and removed flowers from half the trees. We did that once a week through July, and then until August, we started doing it every other week. So, not surprisingly, the trees which had flower removal had lower overall yield. But we also saw an increase in the individual fruit diameters in those trees. For fruit that came from trees where there was flower removal, we saw an increase in a diameter of about 4 millimeters, and that was both statistically and practically significant. 4 millimeters diameter doesn't sound like a lot, but it is in this scenario. Our pruning treatments did not affect the yield in a significant way, and they didn't affect fruit diameter. So we wanted to delve a little deeper into the effect of the flower removal. So what we found was that for every flower we removed, we saw an increase in fruit diameter of about 0.06 millimeters. And for every hermaphroditic flower removed, we saw the mass of the remaining fruit increase by 0.8 grams. The one area where pruning did affect our results was in the actual number of arils in the fruit. And this gets back to the quality of flower. When we combined the one-third pruning treatment with the flower removal, we saw that fruit had about 50 arils more than fruit that did not have, that were not from those flower removal trees. So we still were wondering, how do we tell the difference between, how do we know that we actually caused the fruit to get larger rather than just removing the fruit to make the mean fruit size go up? And so what we did was we went back to our 2015 data, and we found the mean size of all of those fruit, which we were trying to exclude by doing the flower removal. So it was about 76 millimeters diameter, about 225 grams in mass. And we removed that, we basically excluded that from the data set, and we reran our analysis again so that we were only looking at the fruit, which was larger. It was very consistent. We had larger diameter, we had more arils, greater mass, and a higher maturity index, which basically means more sugar, less acid. So in conclusion, we think that our flower removal was actually very successful, and we think that it warrants further exploration of maybe we should look into the use of plant growth regulators for chemical flower removal. Our pruning treatments were not as successful as we would have liked, but in 2017, we implemented the same treatments on the same trees, and we're going to harvest in about 2 weeks now. We're going to harvest, and we'll have the results from that. Anecdotally, we've seen a lot less vegetative regrowth on those trees that had the pruning treatments, and we're hopeful that we'll get some more significant results when we see this year two effects. And that's it. Do we have time for questions? Okay, yes.
Your number has a similar spectrum of flowers.
Mm-hmm. I can say pretty definitively not with Wonderful, not with that cultivar. There has been some work in other cultivars, though I haven't seen that specifically. And I have seen a few studies with ethylene used for thinning in other cultivars and with mixed success. Yeah, I'm not sure. So one thing that we've talked a lot, we've been working with Wonderful Orchards, and one thing we've talked a lot about is when we started this study, we knew that we would have lower yield, and we're not necessarily looking to have more fruit. We're looking to have larger fruit, fruit which can be sold in the fresh market rather than on the secondary juice market. So I think that's interesting, and I'd love to see more research on it. But for our purposes, it wasn't quite what we were looking for. Yeah. Yeah, we were kind of trying to get at that with the pruning. One thing that we saw was that very first graph that I showed you, the bar graph, showed that our late flowers, they were by and large produced on the newer wood. And the newer wood, we saw a lot of vegetative regrowth as a result of the heading cuts. So we're hoping that in our second year, we will see a better effect. I'd love to talk to you about it afterwards. I'm not quite sure the other way to get at it.
Actually, we'll have to.